Hey guys, welcome to the E-commerce Paradise podcast. Today's episode, I'm just going to be talking about what I learned today about sales funnels and email marketing automation. This is episode 4 in my Bangkok Chronicles series, and I'll probably be doing about 6 or 8 of these episodes before I decide whether to keep doing it or not. So if you guys do like this at all, let me know and drop me a comment on my blog, ecommerceparadise.com. Just go there and click the travel link at the top. You can read the blog episodes for Bangkok Chronicles. So Bangkok is really nice, warm and sunny and calm this time of year. And I really like that because we were here all last summer. It was super rainy, so it's nice and it's kind of hot, but it's sunny and it's very, very chill. So it's a perfect time of year to be here. If you guys want to go to Thailand at all, perfect time of year is either in the fall or in the spring. In the winter, it is nice too, but it can get kind of cold in the northern parts. So just keep that in mind. If you like the cold, then the winter should be an ideal time for you to come out here. Definitely. But yeah, I spent the morning blogging, podcasting, sending email to my list while creating the rest of the plan for the day. Black Friday sales have been going quite well for us, so we did really well. I hope you guys did well as well. And Black Friday is always a great time of year because you can have an excuse to send a bunch of sales promotions emails to your list and, bring in some good sales, raise your bids, and, get some chings on your phone. So I'm excited for that. I also had a big Black Friday special in my masterclass and had quite a few people join, so I'm really excited to have them in the masterclass now. And if you are one of the people that joined, congratulations, and I'm excited to get you going and help you become successful with high-ticket dropshipping in 2019. Juliana filled out a bunch of supplier applications for our dropshipping store today. One of the main things that we know about, scaling a store is that it's really good to always be getting new suppliers. And one part of that is, of course, filling out dealer applications. So that's the way high-ticket dropshipping works. You have to fill out applications for each specific dealer or supplier. Luckily, usually it's about the same information for every single one, so we just create a kind of a PDF file with all the information on it and copy and paste and fill it out and go from there. So it's pretty easy to do. Alright, so now I get into the part of the day where I got to work. So like I talk about in other podcasts, what I do a lot throughout the day is I actually learn while I work. So if I'm working on some sort of a repetitive task, what I like to do is actually get some sort of a video or podcast or audiobook or something in the background so I can, learn while I'm doing it. And that usually goes for everything like repetitive data entry or like editing stuff, whatever. But if I'm doing content writing, of course, I wouldn't be able to do that. So I'd listen to music if I'm doing content writing. But in this case, I was just doing a lot of different funnel kind of setup stuff and email marketing automation stuff. So I didn't really have to do a lot of writing in that case. I am writing out emails specifically, but that's a different task entirely. So at any rate, what I was doing today, the first lesson I learned, which was pretty powerful, is something that Russell Brunson said in the first training video inside of Funnel Builder Secrets. Is one of his premium training programs. When you sign up for ClickFunnels, you can get access to that now. And he says, a list of buyers is the best list to have. And so that's why I was thinking today is like, what I'm trying to do is market to a list of people that sign up for a free product. And the problem is that those people aren't buyers. They haven't actually pulled out their credit card to buy anything from you yet. They're freebie seekers. So it's a really good idea to have a opt-in like that, a squeeze page for a free offer, but immediately offer them something for like $10 or less. So that's the one step in the funnel I've actually been missing this whole time. Usually what I do is I have an opt-in for a free, lead generator, and then a mini course that's free, and then I try to close them on a high-ticket masterclass after that. So it's kind of a difficult close. For high-ticket dropshipping, usually you'll have a opt-in for a coupon code, a pop-up on your website or something like that, or a newsletter coupon code input on your store in the footer or something like that. And that'll be their promotions list. And then you try to get somebody, you push them through to at least abandon their checkout, abandon their cart. So if they put an item in to their cart and then they go to checkout and they fill out the information and they abandon it for some reason right there, then you send another series of emails, usually quite a long series of emails that shoots out like, immediately, and then 6 hours later, and then a day later, and the next day and stuff like that. And then you try to close the sale from there. And so, that's usually how the funnel works for high-ticket dropshipping. For, high-ticket consulting, coaching, or high-ticket information products, it's a little bit different. So what I need to do is build out a they call it a tripwire offer, and that's what, you know, Russell Brunson calls it. I think he said that somebody else called it that first, and I wouldn't be surprised, but tripwire offer is something, you know, around $10 or so. So I'm going to build out a niche selection guide, a written PDF, and offer it for $7 or something like that, and that'll be my one-time offer right there. And then when people sign up for that, now I have a list of buyers. So this list of buyers, people that actually pulled out their credit card, is a lot more lucrative to market to. I can sell them any number of things, but that's the list I want to market to, not the list of people that sign up for my freebie offer. So, and the key here is that you don't just send them like a PDF for free. You actually drop them on the sales page and you make that your free offer, is the sales letter. So I'm building this out right now, and it's really exciting for me. So I'm going to get it going, but yeah, I'm hyped on that. And cool thing about having a one-time offer that's only like $7 or $10 or whatever, is that then you can start sending lots of paid traffic to that offer, right? So people that, you know, a lot of people are willing to pull out the credit card and spend $10 on something if it's really valuable and something they really want, really need. It's going to solve their problem, scratch an itch, fulfill a desire, that kind of stuff. So whatever niche you want to build like an info product or membership site in, then just make sure that it's something that they're willing to pull out their credit card and spend $10 on right off the bat. Because after that, once they spend $10, then you can upsell on other stuff. For instance, for me, I make a written guide for $10, and then I'll upsell them on a video course of the same content for maybe $30 to $100, somewhere around there. That'll be kind of like my front end offer. And then after that, I can either put them into like the mini course and then webinar for the masterclass, or I can create some sort of continuity program. You know, and upsell them on that, $30 to $60 a month, that kind of thing, maybe $70 a month, and then upsell, and then from there get them into my product launch formula funnel, which is going to be basically the mini course. Maybe redo that a little bit, make it a little bit more, you know, intense, a little bit more, you know, specifically selling the masterclass. When I made the mini course, I just was focusing on information, not so much selling. Maybe it's a little bit of soft selling, but I need to add a little bit more harder selling to it, I think, especially near the end, and that's fine. But the key is that it wouldn't just stop there. Of course, it has to be, there has to be a webinar offer after that too. So I haven't really built a webinar yet. It's just something I've been planning on doing. I've done live video, so I'm totally comfortable with doing that. It's just a big, long slideshow I have to build out. It's like an hour and a half long. And first hour is a slideshow. Basically, first 45 minutes, I'd say, is like informational, storytelling, persuasion, and then last 20 minutes is like closing the sale, and then maybe half hour for that for Q&A, objection answering, and stuff like that, so I can improve the webinar and answer objections. And so, you know, there you go. So I got a lot of work ahead of me, but I'm excited about that, and I'm learning a lot as I go. And yeah, I want to build it out using Shopify, which is a little bit different than most marketers. Most marketers use something like ClickFunnels, you know, or Thrive Themes on WordPress, but Shopify isn't really optimized for selling information products or doing sales funnels, right? Shopify is more geared towards product sales, physical product sales, e-commerce, stuff like that. And still, you know, it's just not optimized enough. They need to work, or an app needs to work on building a upsell funnel out of that. So I'm going to check out Zipify One-Click Upsell. I think that's going to be a really cool app to use, because what I want to be able to do is say, if someone buys my niches list, I want them to have a one-click upsell opportunity to buy my video course version, right? And then maybe even another upsell after that one-click upsell. One-click upsells are cool because if you ever checked out on Vistaprint. Vistaprint always upsells like crazy. So if you buy like a box of 50 business cards, usually they have like a lead generator, a tripwire offer, box of 50 business cards for $5 or something ridiculously low, $10. And you get the box of business cards, but then they say, hey, do you want 100 business cards for twice the price, you know? And you say, yeah, totally. Or I think it's like 50% off or something like that, whatever. And then they have, you know, 10 other like things. You just click the button in and you throw in some magnets, click the button, you throw in a mug, click the button, throw in a t-shirt, you know? So they have this setup in their after checkout sequence or whatever. It's like their thank you page, basically. And you can, within 15 minutes or whatever, you have a countdown timer, you can do that. So that kind of thing is really lucrative. People that are impulse shopping and don't mind buying something that's, that, you know, similar and you know, add-on value, something like that, we'd be totally willing to buy that after they made the main purchase. So that's why I never really try to upsell people too much before they purchase, because that kind of makes the decision-making process harder because they're spending more money. Get them to make the decision based on the initial value of the main product they're looking for first, and then making decisions to pay more with you in the future is actually really easy, especially right away, because they've already got that dopamine rush of purchasing something online and they're excited, and you know they trust you now because your website's clean and clear, professional, works fast, whatever, and you know, so they left a positive review or something like that after checkout. Now they're willing to just probably buy other stuff. So I'm going to be checking out Zipify One Click Upsell. Hopefully that helps the process through, and we'll see how it goes. So I'm excited about that. Cool thing about using Shopify though to sell information products on my end of it is that I'm actually teaching people how to use Shopify in my high-ticket dropshipping masterclass. So obviously with all my dropshipping stores I've done in the past, I've used Shopify besides my very first one. My very first dropshipping store, I didn't know what I was doing, so I just started with WordPress because it's free. And but the problem is there's a lot of issues with using WordPress, and because you have to self-manage your own hosting usually, unless you know, nowadays you can get managed WordPress hosting, and you know, I'll admit it's probably a lot easier than it used to be, because there's more services now that help you through this stuff. But I don't really like coding with WordPress. PHP is never something that I really learned how to do. WooCommerce is fine and all. It's decent, but it doesn't really have all the features built into it like Shopify does, and it doesn't look as nice and work as fast, in my opinion. So that's just my opinion. Might not be yours or other people out there. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt, do your own research, but I highly recommend Shopify. I use it for all my stores now, and I'm using it for ecommerceparadise.com, so I like it a lot. I still pay for a ClickFunnels account because I really love Russell Brunson's training, and I may use that for separate information products later on because I'm learning this whole new business model, so I have some ideas, but for now I'm just focused on e-commerce paradise and training people how to do high-ticket dropshipping and focusing on growing that dropship store that we're using to show as a case study in the course. So, you know, if you sign up for the high-ticket dropshipping masterclass, you know, just go to ecommerceparadise.com/masterclass if you want to learn about it. You basically get access to see my case study store, and you get to look through there and see all the niches and all the products and stuff like that and what's selling. I'm going to be posting income reports actually coming up at the end of the month because this is our first month of launching the new store. So I'm really excited about that, and be digging into the Shopify dashboard to kind of show people everything that's selling and, you know, what's working, what's not, that kind of stuff. I meant to build the masterclass as a case study from day one. I really wanted to break free of all these courses out there that just kind of show you demo sites and demo stores and stuff like that as an example, because that's not really real. That's not what's actually working, right? What's really working is what's actually making sales. And so if I can show people what's actually making sales, they can kind of take that as a case study and improve their own store. And there you go. I tell all my members exactly what my case study store is, what's selling. Whenever I make a sale, I post it to the group, and everybody gets to see that. And, you know, there you go. It gets people excited. So I just want to help. I'm totally transparent and honest with my programs. So that's what you get when you get to do business with me. You get an open, transparent person that's friendly. So yeah, excited to keep this going. Now, moving forward, I was jumping into my emails. So I realized, you know, my email marketing really needed to be improved. And the cool thing about using a tool like ConvertKit is that I get to use a feature called tagging. Other email marketing platforms do this as well. Klaviyo, which is what I use for my dropship stores, does not, actually, as far as I know at this point. If I wanted to get people segmented, what I'd have to do is have them opt into separate forms, which is totally okay and possible, and it's fine. So for instance, with, you know, my new dropship store, it's quite broad. There's a lot of different niches. So if, you know, someone's interested in bathtubs and they want to go, you know, shop showers or something like that, it's a different product category. So if I want to get them on that separate list and promote certain things to them, either I can wait for them to abandon their cart and just show complete interest, or I can, you know, target them a little bit higher up in the funnel by sending them a, you know, if they sign up for a promotions list and whatever, I can send them an email. Hey, are you interested in, you know, showers? Did you know we have these brands or whatever? Send them to a squeeze page where I offer them like a buyer's guide or something, and then they opt in for that. And I send them a promotional series there, an educational series there. And then, you know, hopefully at that point, they'll be more interested in buying from us. So that's the goal there with Klaviyo. Klaviyo is great because they integrate with Shopify. They have tons of cool stuff. So there's a thing called a data feed in Klaviyo, and that means it'll automatically pull products from your store for promotional campaigns, for broadcast campaigns, you know, for Black Friday sales and stuff like that. You can automatically show your best-selling products. It's really great for super niche stores, and it keeps it really simple. So like if you're just selling one thing, like you open an electric bike store and you're selling electric bikes, maybe 5 or 10 different types of electric bikes, but they're all electric bikes, and you have like, you know, 10 or 20 suppliers, well, you probably have like 10 or 20 products that sell sell way more than the rest of them, or we did anyways when we had an electric bike store a couple years ago. And so if you're going to do that, you can use Klaviyo and you can, you know, just send out your best sellers. If somebody's interested in a folding bike, they might also be interested in a fat bike, or, you know, they might be interested in a road bike or a mountain bike. So there's, you know, many different types. So just keep that in mind. It's kind of the similar thing in every niche. But yeah, you know, when you're first getting started, I always recommend starting with one product category. It's just a lot easier to build out a store and to launch it and to get sales right away. It takes a lot longer to build a broad store and start getting sales. You know, so we're advanced marketers. We've been doing this for a long time. We know what it takes. We have quite a bit of capital built up now. We can afford to take a longer time to launch. But this store that we're doing is huge, and so we plan to grow it out for probably at least a few years, maybe 3 to 5 years. And my plan is to sell it for somewhere between $500,000 to $1 million or more, hopefully. So we got to get the sales up, and we got to automate it and outsource it like crazy, so that, you know, we can sell as a turnkey investment to some sort of an investor, a high-end investor, maybe hedge fund manager who's willing to spend a lot more money on a better store. So I'm excited about that. That's the overall plan. We'll see how it goes. There's been a lot of talk lately about sales tax issues coming up in the States, and I wanted to kind of address that as well, because there is an issue if you start making enough money in one of these states where they now have like a minimum threshold. Like, for instance, if you sell over $100,000 a year within Washington State, they have a threshold where you have to start collecting Washington State sales tax as if you had a nexus there. So kind of crazy, right? Even though you're, let's say, located in Wyoming, your LLC is in Wyoming, you normally wouldn't have to charge sales tax anywhere outside of Wyoming just because that's where your nexus is. Some suppliers have run into these issues, like, for instance, in California, where they're actually auditing them now, and they're forcing the actual dealers, which are us, the online dealers, to have California reseller certificates in order to not have to pay sales tax when we get an order. Otherwise, we have to eat the sales tax or charge the customer, and it's just kind of a messy process. So the issue is, when you have a niche store, you really probably are doing close to $50,000 a month. When you start really get going, you can do up to $100,000 a month or more. I've seen niche stores do great. Niche stores that do like $20,000-$30,000 are totally normal a month. But when you're doing that month, that much per month, it's usually spread out amongst like 15 to 20 states or more, right? So you're only doing a few thousand each state at the most, right? So with that said, you're probably never going to hit those minimum thresholds with a niche store. And so niche stores are great for that reason. But the thing is that you can't lump them all under one LLC in order to evade this kind of like sales tax issue. So you're going to have to create like a separate LLC, separate business checking, separate business, everything pretty much, in order to completely legally evade this kind of an issue coming up. If you build out a big store like I'm doing right now, you're probably going to run into it eventually. We're probably going to run into it eventually. So we just have to be aware of it, be ready for it. It originated from a lawsuit. I think it was like South Dakota versus Wayfair or something like that, or North Dakota versus Wayfair. You know, so they wanted to basically make it so that Wayfair is forced to charge sales tax on products shipped to any state in the U.S. And it's up to the state to now actually enforce that. So a lot of states are getting on the bandwagon there. So just be aware of that, guys. This is happening right now. It was a big Supreme Court ruling where, like, you know, they have to start actually paying sales tax out. So it's a good thing for niche stores, because we can still be very very small and niche and mom and pop and boutique online and not actually have to charge it, right? And have a competitive advantage over, you know, Amazon, Wayfair, all these big sites. So I would say there's more opportunity now than there's ever been, because sales tax can be huge. You know, 9% in California, that's insane. It's, I think it's 6% in Washington. Wyoming's 4%, and, you know, it just varies from state to state, but sales tax can be a lot. And so if somebody sees 9% tax on top of a $1,000 product, that's $90, you know. So they're gonna shop around until they can find a site where they don't have to spend that extra $90. Some people don't care, but a lot of people do, and so a lot of people do shop around. So anyway, keep that in mind, guys. I read about that, and it's important to keep in mind as you grow. So there you go. So as far as email marketing automation goes, the key is you just want to make sure that you're sending relevant and timely emails to your leads. And don't think of your list as a list. Think of your list as leads. And leads are time sensitive. So it's a person's email address, basically their contact information, their private contact information. You can send them an email, but if you send them an email after they're no longer interested, more likely than not, they're going to unsubscribe if it's a sales email, right? Which is fine. And so they're basically going to tell you, hey, I'm no longer interested in your offer. Please don't send me any other emails. I will come back and resubscribe when I'm ready or when I'm now interested in your offers again, right? So when it comes to email marketing, guys, don't be afraid to email your list every single day. It's really good because it basically tells people, hey, we're a professional company. We're around. We love to communicate with our customers. We think communication is key. People love communication. And you're going to be constantly letting people clean themselves out of your list when they're no longer a qualified lead for your offers, right? So it just depends on how many products you have and stuff like that. But what I suggest doing is keeping your emails entertaining and informative, as well as having a sales pitch at the end. So that's the best way to do it. So start with entertainment, start with some sort of like a bait, like, you know, a hook or whatever, and then get into an informative section so that they feel like they got value out of it. And then, of course, you know, you can pitch them something at the very end. That's usually how I do my emails. So with e-commerce, it's, you know, category based, or it's, you know, sales holiday based, that kind of stuff. Or maybe it's some kind of like a popular culture or news based thing. But there's lots of different ways you can do it. And if you want ideas on email marketing, just go to your competitors, sign up for their email list, and read all of their emails. Open every single one, even if you're not interested, just so that you can kind of understand it and use it as a case study to, you know, understand emails more, so you can learn how to sell them stuff better through email. Email is a number one sales channel for retargeting besides Facebook ads. So Facebook ads work great because everybody's on their Facebook feed all the time. They scroll through their Facebook feed just like they would scroll through the email inbox. And the email inbox works the same, but you have to send out emails. Facebook ads you can automate. You can make it so that they send out a Facebook ad for you every single day just by switching it on and saying, you know, don't stop, right? So Facebook ads are really easy to do. Now, emails aren't so easy. You can't always just, there's no app that just switches on email broadcasts, right? You actually have to create them yourself, and you have to hit that send button. So there's a bit more work involved. But the cool thing about emails is that you land in a private place in somebody's life. It's a place that they usually check 3 to 5 times a day or more. And that is someplace they take seriously. So if you actually have offers and you send it to that list, more likely than not, you're going to make sales. Like, I would say if I wasn't email marketing, I probably wouldn't get like a tenth of the sales I'm actually getting on all my businesses, especially e-commerce paradise. So the reason why I get sales with e-commerce paradise is because I send emails to my list. It's just bottom line. I create tons of great content, podcasts, YouTube, blog, you know, all sorts of stuff. And I meet people in person. But the number one thing that gets people coming back and buying from me is email follow-up, right? So just consider it a way to follow up. It's just a part of the sales process. If you're not following up your leads, you're not going to be closing those sales. And email is a great way to close sales. It's convenient. It's fast. It's easy. It's a great way for people to get notified. So if you're not doing email marketing, I just recommend you get into it. Jump into it. Just if you don't know how to do it yet, just jump in, learn how to swim. If you are doing it, definitely just work on improving it like I am. If you're doing it successfully already, great. And you probably can teach me a thing or two about it, so hit me up. I'd love to learn about your awesome email marketing stuff. Which most people, when they know something, they're afraid to teach it because they think they're giving away their secrets. I'm the opposite. I like to give away my secrets because I know that other people will eventually give me their secrets, which will help me grow. And if I can help other people grow, I think that's good karma. And I'm just trying to build my karma points right now. And, you know, I want life to be amazing. I want to make good friends. I want to also be able to be a, you know, successful coach. And I love teaching. So here I am being a teacher without actually having to like work for a school or something like that. So if you guys are interested in teaching, I'd just get out there and teach whatever you want to teach about. If it's like Brazilian jiu-jitsu or eating a vegan diet or being healthy or, you know, hiking or bicycling or, you know, whatever you want to teach about, get out there and be a teacher. It's kind of fun online. It's just blogging, podcasting, YouTube channel, whatever. If you're afraid of it, you know, getting on camera, just do blogging and email marketing. But no matter what you do, email has to be a part of your plan. Okay, so it's either you do YouTube and email, or podcasting and email, or blogging and email. But without email, you're not following up with leads, and you've got to create some sort of a sales funnel to have a business, right? So just that's how this kind of stuff works. Just think about that way. And if you want to learn about sales funnels, guys, Russell Brunson is the man. I've read .com Secrets. I've read Expert Secrets. I'm an affiliate for his, so if you go to ecommerceparadise.com/.com secrets, you'll see the book. I highly recommend you pick up that book. And .com Secrets is kind of like the science behind funnels, and Expert Secrets is kind of like the art behind what to say in those funnels and how to sell stuff. So definitely recommend reading both. Read .com Secrets first, understand the science, understand the theory, and then go into Expert Secrets, and you'll get way more into the art of it. And yeah, copywriting and sales copy and pitching via video, pitching via webinar, pitching via live presentation. conversations. It's crazy, and it works really well, and some people make so much money doing it. It's really incredible. I don't know if you guys have heard of the Rich Dad seminars, but back in Los Angeles, we attended a few of them, and they're really good. They have the funnel down really good. They give you a free webinar to go to, or a free seminar, sorry, so you actually go in person to like a hotel or something. You sit down in a room full of 100 people, and they drop a bunch of value on stage, just like webinar, and then they pitch you on one of their weekend seminars, 3-day courses or whatever, and you go to the back of the room and you buy it. It's like $300, and that's sort of their front-end offer. And then you go to the weekend seminar where they, you know, have a teacher and he teaches you real estate or he teaches you investing or something like that for 3 days straight. You're completely exhausted and mind-blown by the end of it, taking a ton of notes, and then they spend like the entire half of the last day selling you on their like high ticket coaching programs, which is like $50,000, $100,000 or some crazy amount. And some people actually go and sign up for it. And all they need is a few to make it profitable, right? And a bunch of people then, like, who can't afford it, go up there and they try to get financing. They teach them, hey, go to your parents, go to your friends and relatives, whatever. And it's pretty funny. But we did that. We did not do the high ticket coaching, but we went for the weekend one of them was on real estate investing and the other one was on stock investing, specifically options trading. So that was very eye opening and good knowledge to know. However, you know, I really didn't go in either of those directions. I just went straight for e-commerce still because I knew the internet was the best place to be. And it turns out people that have been doing that kind of stuff for a long time are now going towards the internet. A lot of investors and stuff like that are going more for e-commerce and buying up e-commerce sites now, so it's really cool to see, and it's a good place to be as e-commerce. Just look at Amazon's market share. Amazon's market cap, I should say, how much they're worth now, you know, and, you know, big companies like Alibaba that dwarf Amazon as far as sales go. It's pretty intense what's going out there in the e-commerce world, so it's definitely a good place to be. But yeah, so just make sure you're doing all that good stuff. When it comes to funnels, like I said, it starts with your free offer, it goes into a tripwire offer, goes into a front-end offer and continuity if you want, and then a main offer, and then goes into a even back-end continuity after that, maybe like a coaching program. You can offer software, you can offer services, you can offer affiliate offers, stuff like that. There's tons of different things. You can do live events, whatever. All sorts of cool stuff you can do. But when it comes to high-ticket dropshipping, the funnel is very simple. Someone lands on your website through a Google Shopping ad, usually, or a search text ad, or maybe a YouTube video, or some sort of a piece of content somewhere, or maybe just Google organic search, that kind of stuff. They land, hopefully, on a product page, sometimes on a blog post, pre-sales page. But they should be landing on a product page on your website, maybe even a collection if they're in that part of the funnel. So they could be entering your funnel from many different places, just so you know. There's three types of traffic mainly. Generic traffic, which is like looking for the product type. There is the branded traffic, looking for a brand, not sure what product they want yet. And then there's the product search, which means that they're way down in the funnel. They know exactly what product they want. Now they're just shopping around to get the best deal for it. So you want to make sure that you have your website set up for each part of the funnel and that you're basically trying to get them down to the next part of the funnel. So every generic thing on your website would be either a blog post, pre-sales page, or a product type collection, buyer's guide, that kind of thing. Just focus all your sales copy on getting somebody into the brands. So, you know, now they understand what brands you carry and which brands are the best, and maybe a couple of the best seller products. So maybe if they're interested in just skipping straight to the product stage, they can do that. Some people are. But regardless, just make sure you're pushing them down the funnel. But specifically when you first start out, you really want to drive product-specific traffic to product pages. I think that's the low-hanging fruit. People are shopping around. You can just offer a discount and a free gift, that kind of stuff, and they might actually buy from your store. So that's a great way to become profitable in the very beginning. That's what I teach in the Jigger Dropshipping Masterclass, how to do that. And then you work your way back up to the top of the funnel through the middle part of the funnel first. That way you really build out all your content and you're able to then capture leads when they're closer to the top of the funnel, and then that way you can broaden your leads list and get a lot more leads, and then you're able to close a lot more sales that way. So that's just kind of how it works in the long run, guys. Hope that makes sense. Usually, you know, it's done through email marketing and Facebook ads. So if someone lands on your site, they either sign up for your promotions list. If they don't buy right away, they sign up for your promotions list and then leave, and you can retarget them on Facebook ads and then send them emails and get them back to your store to make that sale. Or you can call them even. There's many other ways, but a lot of the sales happen without having to call. They just happen automatically online. Even high ticket stuff, $3,000 to $5,000 sales, you know, we'll get on a regular basis, and they happen online. Didn't have to call them or anything like that. So this depends on the niche, of course. You know, niches that are in fringe industries, confusing products, maybe electronics, appliances, stuff like that, they might need people. People might need a call to kind of ask how they work and if it's trustworthy brand and all that stuff. So just make sure that you're able to answer the phone, or you hire a virtual assistant who does, who's good on the phone with American people, doesn't have too thick of an accent, and also knows how to speak with Americans and stuff like that, doesn't scare them away, is knowledgeable about the products and all that stuff. So I'll probably have more episodes on outsourcing later on, but you can look through the library of the podcast and find the episodes on outsourcing if you need to. And yeah, I'll probably end this episode there, guys. Talked about a lot of good stuff. Hope you guys are enjoying this. I know these episodes are really long, but I think that I have tons of value. You know, it's just stuff I'm learning every day. I can kind of forward that on to you guys, and hopefully that helps you guys. If you guys are interested in joining my high-ticket dropshipping masterclass, drop me a line, let me know. I can give you a free niches list, free mini course, help you understand. It's really for taking somebody who has never done this before to taking somebody to launching and then successfully profitable, right? And so that's what the masterclass is for. I realize there's a lot of people out there that are already doing high-ticket dropshipping, so I am going to be building stuff out for them. I am building out a continuity program. I think that would be the most beneficial to somebody who's already doing it. A weekly webinar video chat where I'm able to help you and offer you advanced marketing tactics via webinar. So once that happens, I will definitely be letting the community know. So stay tuned for that, guys. And in the meantime, I will check you later. Bye-bye.